Bible Today to enroll now. Leave your contact info for someone to reach out to you today. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You will be glad you did. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a, if you want to call it that, a fireside chat with Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former District 1 representative for the state of Florida. And as I like to personally brag on him, I'm thankful for his integrity, his stand. He is a conservative Christian, Republican, patriot, and I am delighted that he takes the stand. And I pray that God will bless him and his work and his ministry as a result of taking a stand. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't understand anything else that we're trying to do on Let's Face the Issues, is to encourage Christians to be salt and light, to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. Come out of the closet, come out from under the bed, and be what God would have us to be, taking the stand. And I would challenge every pastor, every Sunday school teacher, every Christian leader that's listening to this broadcast today to take a stand and to say from your pulpits to your audience, your congregation, and for your Sunday school classroom, boycott, use that term, boycott Cracker Barrel. They've gone totally woke. They are now embedded fully and completely with the LGBTQ sodomite pride agenda, participating in the Pride Month, participating in welcoming the LGBTQ and the mindset that somehow, some way, that is the end thing to do. In fact, I'll read again these words, and then Congressman Hill can, we can wrap up our thoughts on this and transition to another event or another issue. On behalf of Cracker Barrel's LGBTQ Alliance and DEIB, we want to celebrate you. It's talking about you, the LGBTQ. You for just being you. It's our grandest mission to ensure that pleasing people, all people, LGBTQ plus Pride Month, each month, each June, it's important for us to reflect on what took place June 28, 1969 at Stonewall Riots. It goes on to say, as June prompts us to reflect on the core values of pride, people, professionalism, respect, integrity, diversity, and excellence. Listen, Cracker Barrel believes these are the core pillars that should guide our decisions year-round. Ladies and gentlemen, they are, as you, old term would be, head over heels in the LGBTQ pride celebration and the pride agenda and the ties to DEI. But ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I'm surprised by, and I ought not to be, is the fact that most people, most of you that's listening today, that believe that all the hoopla that the Marxist media has been talking about with anything said about Cracker Barrel is over the logo. I could care less what the logo looks like. I'm talking about what is taking place from within and the mindset that is in the operational seat called the CEO, the feminist, woke, LGBTQ, embracing CEO that's in charge now of Cracker Barrel. I'm concerned. And so, Congressman Hill, in our wrap-up thought about Cracker Barrel, Here's something that I must discuss. As we go out to eat with our families, as we go to buy groceries, for example, some of the grocery stores that years ago did not handle alcoholic beverages, now that's a major department in them. What are Christians to do when we find the entire woke agenda in our world today, in our society today, that could care less what Christians and conservatives and patriots think, that we somehow, some way, should just continue to do business with them, continue to embrace their wokeness and their LGBTQ sodomite agenda and their demoralization and disintegration of anything that we call morals, ethics, and values? How should we respond? What should Christians do?
Christians should not be a part of it, Dr. Youngblood. We should resist being a part of this secularist worldview that shakes its fist in the face of God. The Word of God tells us that pride comes before the fall. And God's Word is true. It will happen. And now we're seeing that these people, Cracker Barrel, the whole LGBTQ, DEI, CRT community, they are shaking their fists in God's face saying, we are going to be proud of our perverted behavior. We are going to be proud of what we do. And we don't care what you think about it, God. We're going to celebrate it for an entire month in the United States and around the world. And God is not mocked. And there will be the fall. You come out with your pride, the fall is going to happen. And you're right, Dr. Youngblood, in Psalms 94:16, God is speaking, where he says, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? It's God's people. Those who belong to the Lord God Almighty, who profess Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, we are the ones who will stand up and not participate in this nonsense.
This is the reason, Congressman Hill, I advocate so much for Christians to be salt and light. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, the Lord Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. He didn't say, perhaps, maybe, or I hope you are. He said, you are. If we've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, we are salt, we are light, and as salt and light, we're to preserve decay in society. We're to illumine darkness in society, and the thing that saddens me so much is to see so many Christians that are simply willing to look the other way, pretend these things are not happening, and embrace them, thinking that I don't have any other choice. I go back to, and perhaps I've used this illustration before, I go back to many years ago, even before Target started being woke with the sodomite agenda and all of the transgenderism that they were displaying and marketing in their store. Before that, they would not play Christmas music at Christmas time. My wife and I were in there, this is many years ago now, and we had two buggies, the carts, shopping carts, filled with items we were buying for our kids and grandkids for Christmas. And I asked one of the ladies that just workers that had the little tag on Target. She passed by and said, why aren't you playing Christmas music? She said, the management doesn't want us to because it would offend some people. I said, it offends me that it's not being played. So we both pushed our carts right up to the service counter rather than the checkout. And I said, is your manager in? And the lady said, is there a problem? I said, not yet. I just need to speak to the manager. And so they look kind of shocked. And so finally this young lad comes out and says, he's the manager. I said, why aren't you playing Christmas music? It's Christmas time. And he said, we didn't want to offend anybody. I said, well, I'm offended. I'm a Christian. This is God's money in my pocket. I'm not going to spend God's money in a place of business that does not honor God, especially at Christmas time when you're expecting Christians to come in and spend God's money for Christmas presents. He said, well, and he started trying to mitigate the circuit. I said, no, you keep what's in these two carts. We promise you we won't be back and put one dime in the register here at Target. And we've not. That's been approximately 20 years ago now. And yet I find that's the only thing, in my opinion, that's the only thing a Christian can do. And I'm not for any Bud Dumber or Miller Lowlife, but the Bud people that were sipping the suds when the woke transgender person was advertising for Bud, people stopped buying Bud, and as a result of that, the cash register started plummeting, and all of a sudden they reversed course. So it's my prayer that we will see that take place with Cracker Barrel. It is my prayer that Christians would boycott them enough that they've already lost over 100 million, and I don't know how much more today when the market opened, but I'm prayerful that we can get their attention. But Congressman Hill, I'm looking at an article, switching gears now, says mass surveillance only getting worse. New pushback against explosion of license plate readers nationwide. Threatens people's privacy, security, and freedom of movement by creating an atmosphere where everyone knows that they're being traced, watched, and tracked wherever you go when you hit the road. License plate reader technology was around long before artificial intelligence, but critics warn that it provides a foreshadowing of some of the dangers that could be coming in the future. It is the Institute for Justice that's now announced a nationwide campaign to push back against the arbitrary and unrestrained use of cameras used in technology. Already there are cameras across thousands of American communities, but there are major concerns about the violation of the U.S. Constitution. This article reads 5 pages. I'll read one brief paragraph left. The Fourth Amendment provides with the unregulated mass surveillance are only getting worse as communities around the country begin to use ALPRs and expansion of their existing surveillance network. The IJ lawyer, Michael Sawyer, nationwide police are now using this camera system to track, to trace locations and movements of all people driving the highways. And they don't have to be considered looking for somebody that's committed a crime. What say you, Congressman Hill, about what is taking place? I think we've, in American society, we've grown to think, we've got security cameras in our homes. We've got security cameras at stores. We've got security cameras at license plate readers at all of the ports of entry and major segments of the interstate highway system. But now we're finding that is a network that is spreading so that every vehicle, every place that you go, is being traced, tracked, and monitored. Where is this going? Where is the constitutionality of that? How should we respond?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, you made a good point in that we have security cameras in our homes. I do. In my front door, my back door, my side door, security cameras is for our safety and protection. We have security cameras in banks. That's to stop crooks. We have security cameras in stores. That's to stop thieves from taking place. But what we are seeing now and is going from just security and protection to control, where the government needs or wants to have these cameras to be able to detect who you are, where you are, and when, so they can control you. We're already seeing in communist China that there are certain neighborhoods where people have to show facial recognition in order to leave their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And if the state, for some reason, doesn't want them to, they block them from leaving.
Yes.
And then they will block them from being able to purchase things. The whole idea, Dr. Youngblood, is to control people, to control the population. It's a communist idea. We need to get away from it in America. We are the land of the free. We should be free from all this surveillance that is going on that is beyond just from security and prevention of theft.
Absolutely. One of the things, Congressman Hill, that comes to my mind, and I'm sure that you are familiar with and have pondered that also, I look to the future. We already have AI today that can listen to, trace, track everything that's said on any handheld device or any computer technology that we have today. where everything is being, in fact, with many, if not most all, of the television sets today, the smart TVs, whether they're on or off, it can monitor everything that's said in the home, according to the research that I've done on that. So what we're seeing, my most humble opinion, we're setting the stage for the tools, for the instruments, for the mechanism in the hands of the Antichrist when the church is raptured out. The Antichrist will be able to step on the scene, and through the monitoring system, as you said, it's already in China. And if you are not good on your social system in China, you cannot buy, sell, or trade already in the nation of China. We're on the fast track for doing this on a global basis. Somehow, some way, there's the mindset in America today that we've got to expedite artificial intelligence because, and I quote, we've got to stay ahead of China on artificial intelligence. And now with the networking of artificial intelligence, with the surveillance cameras on a national basis, we're violating the Constitution. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're right, Dr. Youngblood. What people don't seem to understand about artificial intelligence is that it's just not some kind of supercomputer thing. It's not some nebulous thing in the sky that it is gathering all this information. Artificial intelligence is a computer program. It is people who develop and put in the information in that software, in the computer chips, who will then give us answers to things that we ask questions of or to solve problems. And because it is being placed in there as a computer program, it can have errors in it. It can have biases. It's not always correct. Artificial intelligence is not the end-all, be-all of progressing that people think that it is. It can make errors. We've seen it, Dr. Youngblood, where someone will ask artificial intelligence to create for me a picture of a Viking warrior, and what will come back will be a picture of a black woman or an Asian person all dressed up in a typical Viking garb. It can be wrong, just like any other computer program. So what we are seeing is that it's being used to control based on those who are putting the information into the computer. You can get a different answer if you ask a question of Grok GPT, that's Elon Musk AI, or if you go to Google's AI and ask the same question, you will get different answers. And so that is something we have to be very wary of. But as you say, Dr. Youngblood, it can be used as a control mechanism. And we have to, as Christians, stand back because God has made us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Absolutely. And he's not given us that spirit of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 tells us. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. If you'd like to jump into the conversation or the dialogue and discussion today with Congressman Mike Hill, the former District 1 representative of the state of Florida, we're always delighted to have him with us on Let's Face the Issues. Congressman Hill, I'm delighted that the latest news was that this is the 14th day since President Trump sent in the National Guard and the ICE agents and the state police into D.C. to clean the streets up and to stop crime. 14th day, there's been no murders in the D.C. area. Now, the hue and cry from the Marxist media and the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats on the left is that President Trump is violating our Constitution. He's going to destroy democracy. He simply wants to be a dictator. What say you to those accusations?
My first question would be, show me in the Constitution where he is violating the Constitution. Show me where it says that he cannot protect citizens from violence, from thieves, from those who want to do us harm. Show us where he is violating the Constitution. Don't just say this is against our Constitution. Show me where. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see exactly where you were talking, because it's not there. They can't find it, Dr. Youngblood. Now, here is President Trump saying, we're going to go clean up other cities also. We have the National Guard. The National Guard can be used by our president to go in to secure and to protect American citizens. We've seen it done in the past before, particularly in the 60s when we had all the rioting that was going on, which, by the way, was caused by the left, just like the rioting and nonsense that's going on now by Antifa and others, is caused by the left, by Democrats, by communists, who simply want to create chaos so that they then can come in and control the situation. President Trump is doing a good thing. Less people are dying. There are more crooks and thieves being arrested. People are safe to walk on the streets again. There's nothing unconstitutional about that.
Absolutely. One of the things that they're screaming the constitutionality is kind of twofold. That number one, he doesn't have the authority, and constitutionally he does. And secondly, that he's going in, scooping up people, putting them in vehicles, and ICE agents with mask on, with no identification, taking them to unknown location and making them disappear. That's the terminology that's being used by the Marxist media, and yet President Trump has that authority to do so. But it makes a transition in my mind to this person named Kelmar Garcia, the hue and cry from the Communist Marxist Democratic Party is that he's not being given his constitutional rights. Now, Congressman Hill, what's wrong with that statement? Does Garcia have constitutional rights?
Not U.S. constitutional rights, because he's not a U.S. citizen.
That's right.
The American Constitution, United States Constitution, was written for American citizens, not for illegals who come here illegally. So this Garcia guy, he should have kept quiet, because now I hear that Trump is going to send him to Uganda. Now, I'd like to see this senator, I forgot his name, whoever, who went down to visit him in Venezuela and drank a margarita with him. I'd like to see you try and do that in Uganda. Mm-hmm. You fly over there and see if you can meet with this guy and have a margarita with him. And down in Venezuela,
Venezuela.
He was having three meals a day. He was working out. He had TV and could take a break to have a margarita with the senator. They will not do that in Uganda. So he should have just kept quiet. You don't understand? But he's separating him from his family. It's wrong. It's wrong. His family can go with him if they want to.
That's what the man this morning, I watched about 6 o'clock, 6:30 news this morning, and the head of ICE, I've got the Holman, he said the Democrats are saying we're going to separate him from his family. He said, hey, his family's free to go with him, but we're going to send him to Uganda, I think was the last word. In fact, I'm looking at a headline that says, ICE agents arrest Garcia at a Maryland check-in, and his lawyer is speaking. I listened to his lawyer wax eloquently when he was speaking before the Marxist media after Garcia was picked up this morning or yesterday evening by ICE. And the attorney, I'll paraphrase much of what he said, that Garcia is being maltreated, that he's not being afforded his constitutional rights, that he has the right to have a lawyer, he has the right to be heard, he has the right to have a trial, he has the right to go before a judge, et cetera, et cetera. But what he's not saying is that Garcia had been before two immigration judges, both of them since 2011, had at 2011 and 2019, said that he's broken the law, he's here illegally, and he must be deported. Two courts have afforded him the right of a hearing, if you will, and now the right of the hearing redounds to the fact that he needs to leave America. And now ICE agents have picked him up. But listen to this. His attorney says, as of 5 minutes ago, and this was dated 8:30 a.m. Today, As of 5 minutes ago, Garcia has filed a new lawsuit in the Federal District Court of the District of Maryland, challenging his confinement, challenging his deportation to Uganda and to any other country unless he's had his fair trial and in an immigration court, as well as all of his appeal rights under the Constitution. He has no appeal rights under the Constitution. As I tell people, when you look at the Constitution, look at the four corners, the left to right and down, and on the total Constitution, the face of it, as you said, affords rights and constitutional remedies for American citizens, not for illegal invaders.
Yes, that's right.
So go ahead.
Dr. Youngblood, what I was going to add there is that these attorneys who are representing this illegal alien, first of all, they're going to continue this as long as they can because they like to get paid. Mm-hmm. We should investigate who is paying these attorneys for this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Garcia doesn't have the money to pay him. Who is paying these attorneys who will stretch this out for 20 years if they can, just like somebody who's on death row and making all these appeals? They know how to do that and continue to make money. We need to put a stop to it. Go ahead and deport him. As you say, he's already had two trials and has been convicted at both of them, that he's here illegally and should be deported. And what I like about Holman and Trump and his entire administration is they mean business this time. Amen. And they are not just sitting around.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, we've got about a minute left on the broadcast. I'd like to wrap up with your thoughts on this. This is un-American. Nearly 2.5 million people have signed petitions supporting the illegal alien truck driver who killed three people. Should that truck driver simply be deported? Should he be tried and convicted and sentenced for the murder of three people? How should we as Christians view that?
Well, we need to have justice. Dr. Youngblood, there are families that are hurting. I think it was one family where the three people died tragically.
Correct.
And justice is calling out. And so what happens with justice? Justice says that this man should be, he's been caught, he needs to be tried, and he needs to be convicted. And once convicted, he needs to serve whatever the penalty for that is. If that penalty means going to prison here in the United States, or if he is deported, he should be deported going to prison, not deported to run free and perhaps to come back. And in fact, I'd like to see him in prison in California, who gave him the license in the first place, and make them pay for the imprisonment.
Absolutely. Take one moment as we close the broadcast. Your challenge to Christians that are listening today.
We need to stand up, Dr. Youngblood. Christians should not cower back, because when we do, the left, the Democrats, the communists, the evildoers, Satan will push forward. They will not stand back and retreat. They will take every inch that you give them, and we must stand firm and not allow it any further, Dr. Youngblood.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today, Congressman Hill. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students